Well, happy Christmas. This is kind of a funny scripture in Christmas. We come and we sing joy to the world and go tell it on the mountain and we're happy and joy and have Christmas trees and we're still pigging out on sweets and food and stuff we shouldn't be eating. And then we read this story that the church gives us in Christmas. And it is about the killing of innocent children at the hands of the empire. And it's not anything that sounds like happiness or joy. There's a real danger when we read these kind of horrible stories that we just kind of read them and don't really get a picture of what's going on. The terror that must have been in Bethlehem and the surrounding area when all the king's forces come in and tear open doors and bust through windows and find the babies and the children and murder them. And there's some really great artwork depicting some of this in the world. It's a horrible scene, and it's Happy Christmas, the death of babies. In fact, every single year at Christmas time, the fourth day of Christmas is a celebration of this day. It's called the Feast of the Holy Innocents. And we celebrate Stephen on the second day of Christmas, who was the first martyr of the church. He was proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus, and he was killed for that. So he was a Christian martyr, killed because he proclaimed the resurrection. But these babies in Bethlehem were the first people killed for Christ, although they didn't even know it. It's a really powerful reminder of what Christianity is about. A lot of times the church puts on a real happy sort of face, and we just pretend to be all rainbows and unicorns. And the church and the Bible are both pretty honest. And as we celebrate the incarnation of God into the world in a child, we immediately, the second day of Christmas, turn to the death of the first martyr. And then we look to the Gospel of John and the author of John, and then we look to the death of these babies. It's a reminder that God knows reality and enters into it with us. This is a story. The Magi have come. The Magi, of course, are foreigners. They're pagans. They don't worship the right God. They do not have the right religion. And yet somehow they can see God more than the people of Israel. And they come and they worship the child. They unwittingly tell King Herod of the child. And then they go find the child. And then they're warned that Herod is actually evil, and so they trick the king and go a different way, and Herod doesn't know where the baby is. So he gets angry and he kills everybody. The Holy Family then becomes international refugees. They get up in the middle of the night and they flee. And they run away to another country, and they live there for many years until they can come back home. And when they come back home, they settle in an area that they're not even used to because the king's son was ruling there. It's just a mess of a story. It's a mess of a story. And one of the questions we can ask ourselves is, where is God in all of this? It's a mess of a story. It's ugly. Death and pain and fear. And an empire, I mean, this candle nativity is so perfect today, that big empire candle that wants to dominate the scene over the little bitty Christ tea candle. That's what's going on here. The empire, the powers, the government of the day wants to dominate it all by any means. And they do, except not really. And that's part of the trick of the story of the gospel, is that though it looks like the empire is big and winning, it isn't really. It's all a farce. But where is God in the midst of this? When the empire, when death looks so powerful. And one of the things I want to say is this isn't just an academic question. Where is God in the middle of this? Because it's something we can ask ourselves all the time. In the last month, look around this room. We're not a very large church, eh? In the last month, three babies connected with our church have been in the hospital. Some of it pretty serious. It's not just an academic question. Where is God in this? People here have, just that we know and sit by, have gone through a great deal of suffering in lots of ways in their lives. It's not just an academic question. Where is God? This Holy Family becoming refugees made me look up some refugee statistics. There are 70.8 million people in the world right now, approximately, who are forcibly displaced. They're not moving or immigrating because they want to, because they have to. Almost 71 million people. 41-ish million of those are moving internally in their own country. Almost 26 million of those have had to flee their country. And 3.5 million of those are official asylum seekers. And it's so easy for those just to be numbers, but that is real and real pain. Homelessness and refugees are not the same thing. They're different problems. This Christmas story also made me think of that. I looked up Arizona homelessness stats. Just in Arizona, there are approximately 36,000 homeless people in Arizona. That's one in every 184 Arizonans. 37% of those are families. Yeah. Oh, wow. This isn't just an academic question. Where is God when people are running for their lives because they're threatened with death? Where is God when children are suffering? Where is God when people have no roof over their head? Where is God? The story tells us. God in Christ is in the middle of it all. Jesus is the baby who is fleeing. Jesus is the baby whose life is threatened. The Holy Family is the refugee family running away. And that's one story, but it tells us the answer to our question, where is God in the middle of this? Where is God in the middle of this? God is in the middle of this. God is in the foreign, pagan, idol worshipers who don't even know the God of Israel, and yet they come and worship. That's where God is. Places you don't expect. In the very deepest, darkest, lowest of humanity, that's where God goes everywhere. There's a famous Easter sermon by one of the early church fathers where he says, "Let no one fear death, for the death of our Savior has set us free. Our Savior has destroyed death by entering it. He destroyed Hades, the place of the dead, hell itself, by descending into it. He put it in an uproar, even as it tasted his flesh." God enters into hell so that all things might be redeemed, even those living in hell. And I know that some of you have been in a hell. A lot of times we call it a hospital. It has a lot of names. We might call it the streets, or abuse, or fear, or depression, or anxiety. And there's lots of words for hell. And I say to you, when we are in hell and wondering about it and wondering where is God, the answer is that God is right there in hell with you. And it might not feel like it, you might not tell, but there is God suffering with you, bringing about redemption. Jesus destroyed hell, fear, death, torture, anything else that we can dish out by entering it and enduring it alongside of us. There's been this theme kind of verse for me over this Advent and now into Christmas, and it's Isaiah 65. Some of the best words in the whole Bible. God is entering into our hells and bringing about a new world that we get glimpses of in the scripture. This world isn't here yet, but it's coming. And as God is in hell suffering, God is creating this new world. Look, I'm creating a new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered. They won't even come to mind. Mark and I have talked about this. One of the big problems with the problem of evil is why we remember the evil that happened to us. Sometimes an event, a thing can have happened 20 years ago and we carry it with us in memory, and that pain lives with us. In that new world, the former things will not be remembered. They won't even come to mind. The hells that we live in are destroyed even in our memory. The sound of weeping and the sound of crying will be heard no more. No longer will babies live only a few days. No longer will the old fail to live out their days. They won't build for another to inhabit. They won't plant for another to eat. They will not work for nothing, nor will they give birth into a world of horrors. When I read this scripture for today, I thought of a world of horrors. No more will they give birth into a world of horrors, for they will be God's children and blessed, and their descendants with them. That's the picture that's coming, even when we're in the middle of hell. Because where is God but in hell with us, destroying it from the very inside? Our Savior put hell into an uproar, even as it tasted of his flesh. Just a couple quick things about how to live into this. One is to have hope when you despair. When you are in those hells in our world, somehow hold on to hope. Where is God? Right here, suffering with me, destroying this suffering, and bringing about the picture we see in Isaiah 65. And that should, I hope, give us hope to hang on. When your world is falling apart, to know that God is there with you and will put it back together. The second thing is a lesson we get from the Magi themselves. These foreigners, these pagans, the people who don't eat right, talk right, smell right, worship correctly, they're wrong in every single way, except that somehow they follow God as best they can, and this is the thing I want us to catch, they resist the empire. They don't just play along. Soon as they find out Herod is crooked, they trick him. They resist the empire. And I could drop in here all kinds of Star Wars analogies, right? Because that's what you're all thinking, right? The resistance, the empire, but not just that. We could talk about Harry Potter and resisting the Ministry of Magic when it turns evil, or Voldemort, or, sorry, I spoke his name, all kinds of things like that. But resistance is a real thing, and the Magi do it. It's just a little bitty thing, but they do it. Another really great story of resisting the empire is Moses. When he was born, a couple of women, Pua, I'm going to forget the other woman's name, they resist the Pharaoh of the time, and they hide baby Moses when they were supposed to kill him. Resist wherever and however we can. An important note here The empire means whatever government we live under. That's what the empire is. There is no such thing as a Christian government. They're all empires. Whether we were living in Sudan or France or the US, the government is the empire. It's, theologians talk about it, they call it the powers. There's this thing, this like supernatural thing we call the powers that manifest in earthly governments. And they're all corrupt. They're all bad. All of them. Every single one of them. They will all kill the babies if they think it would help them keep power. All of them. And so we resist them. Whenever, and however those governments turn against babies or goodness or peace, we need to resist. This is a really, really, really hard thing for people to get because we fall in love with the empires that we live in. We fall in love with them and we worship them and we put our hope in them, and that is all wrong, all wrong. The call we get, the lesson we learn from the Magi is to resist them. Encourage them where they're good and resist them where they're evil, and there will always be evil to be resisted, always. We need to open our eyes and see it. And the third thing, so have hope, resist the powers. And number three is to find ways to be with the Christ child. Wherever that Christ child is found. And the Christ child will be found in everybody. This is a call especially to be with the people who are suffering, to go with them, to stand with them, to be with them, to enter into their story. A year or so ago, Jamie Levi preached a great sermon where her main theme was to transformative solidarity, to stand with people in their suffering. Solidarity, to stand with people in their suffering. And by us entering into their suffering and story, we can help transform that suffering. It's a call to be like Mary, who gave birth to Christ in the world. Be with people in suffering, and therefore you are giving birth to Christ in their world and helping to redeem it. Live in hope, resist the powers, and enter into suffering with people. That's what I hear this morning as our call. Lord God, would you help us to live into these things? Would you help us to have hope in the face of unspeakable despair? Would you help us to have eyes to see the empire and where it is evil and to resist it? Would you help us to have eyes to see those who are suffering? And not only eyes to see, but hands and feet to enter into that suffering and stand with them. God, we give you great thanks that you do not abandon us in pain, but you enter into us and into it. You enter into hell itself and destroy it from the inside. God, help us to be agents in that destruction of hell, that we might walk alongside people who need to see you in flesh. God, when we suffer, would you give us hope? And in all this, we long for the day that Isaiah 65 comes true and the former things are no longer remembered. God, hasten that day. Bring it. Come, Lord Jesus. Pray all of this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the one God who will restore and redeem all things. Amen.